Good morning.
This is September of 2018, and it means that Mystical Principles is 13 years old. It's finally become a teenager. It's amazing to me to look over those past 13 years and to see how it has spread around the world. There are people listening to talks on little islands in the middle of the Atlantic I've never even heard the name of. But I get emails and notes from people that have discovered it. This morning we have quite a bit to cover, and I'm not sure if we can do it in one talk. It may take several. It may be a series of talks, but I have no idea at the moment. I just know that there's a lot to cover. But before we do any of that, let's take a moment and be still. I'm going to be still with you right on this talk. So if you hear silence, well, number one, you'll be blessed. But number two, don't turn the talk off, because it's going to continue when the silence is complete. All right, so here we go. Let us be still. Invite the soul. We're not interested in what the senses are reporting. Close your eyes. Take a breath. Let it out. Be still. And know the I of you am God. Okay. I've been rereading the book Leave Your Nets by Joel Goldsmith, and years ago I used to think that that book had to do with leaving your dependency on people, places, and things and learning to rely on God, and it does, some of it does, but upon taking a deeper look, it means it's telling us to leave our nets, and our nets are a personal sense of existence, a material sense of self. Now, Herb Fitch, for those of you that haven't heard him, is pretty deep, and he talks about moving from sense to soul. But at some point in your journey, if you're like me, you have to ask, how? Just how do I do that? Why, every time I turn around, there's material sense. I might have a problem of supply, and I'm running out of money to pay what I'm committed to pay this month. I might have a problem in relationships. I thought that was going fine, and now we're arguing. I might have a problem with health. I hadn't thought about it in a while, and now all of a sudden I've developed this limp, and I don't know what's causing it. So we go along. I think Joel says it perfect in the very, very first chapter of this book, The Infinite Way. And the very first chapter is putting on immortality. And you cannot put on immortality. You can't add it to humanhood. And that's perhaps what we've been doing. So listen, listen with your soul. It begins with John's lovely beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh, but it still is the Word. By being made flesh, it does not change its nature, character, or substance. Cause becomes visible as effect, but the essence or substance is still the Word, spirit, or consciousness. In this way, we understand that there is not a spiritual universe and a material world, but rather what appears as our world is the Word made flesh, spirit made visible, consciousness expressed. Now he bundles up error here in one nice neat package. All the error that has existed down through the ages is founded on the theory or belief of two worlds. One, a spiritual kingdom, and two, a material world. A material existence separate from the other. Because of this sense of two worlds, men, and that includes women, have always attempted to bring harmony into the discords of human existence through an attempt by prayer to contact this other world or spiritual realm or kingdom of God and bring the Spirit of God to act upon the so-called material existence. Now right there, let's break it down even farther. All the error that has ever existed stems from the belief in two worlds and the attempt to draw in the Spirit of God to act upon this world, this material sense of existence. That's phenomenal if you catch that. Well, he continues with, let us, that's us in the infinite way, begin with the understanding that our world is not an erroneous one, but rather the universe in which we live is the realm of reality or the kingdom of God, about which we entertain a false concept. You see that? See that? So, a little more. The seeker of truth starts their search with a problem, perhaps many problems, and the first years of their search are devoted to overcoming discords and healing disease through prayer to some higher power, or the application of principles to mortal conditions. You see? That's error. You ask, you pray, and receive not, because you ask amiss. You want God to heal you, or to supply you, or to companion you. That's asking amiss. He says the day arrives, however, when he perhaps discovers that the application of truth to human problems does not work, or does not work as it once did. Eventually, he is led to the great revelation. This is a great revelation that you're being initiated into, if you catch it. Eventually, he is led to the great revelation that mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. they do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. God does not create or control material affairs. The natural human man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. Well, that is the great revelation. You cannot add God to your humanhood. Now, we've heard that a lot, and we go right on praying for health. Oh, we pretend that we're not. We kind of try to go around by the back door. I'm not going to pray for health or anything for this body. And then we close our eyes and we say something to ourselves like, God is the health of my countenance. Only God is my life. And what are we praying for? We're praying for health. Come on. Quit kidding yourself. Well, God is not known by trying to add God to a material, mortal sense of existence. And so if you have a material sense of self, if you have a material sense of life or health, if you have a material sense of supply, if you have a personal sense of companionship, you cannot get God to fix it, any of those. You have to put off those things. And then immortality is given to you. He who loses his life shall find it. All right, so number one, top dog, first thing, top priority. You cannot add God to your humanhood. You cannot pray to add spirit to a material sense of existence. So, you might as well stop hoping for God to come in and fix your problem. He's not going to do it. Yet, if I can put off mortality to where I stop seeking any of those things, to where I stop seeking a God to fix something, if I can put off a personal sense of self, a personal sense of life or health, a personal sense of supply, a personal sense of companionship, if I can put all that off and stand still, I will become aware of immortality in which I live and move and have my being now. Do you believe Joe Goldsmith when he says that this world is the kingdom? Do you believe Paul when he says, for now we see through a glass darkly, but later we will see face to face? Do you believe John when he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God? Here's John saying the same thing to us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Yes. What is the darkness? The darkness is a material sense of existence. The light shined into a material sense. A material sense comprehended it not. And so he says here, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now that's you and I over lo these many years. I feel quite certain that many of us have already had spiritual experiences. And so that would be he came unto his own. The living God came unto us, and yet his own received him not. We didn't receive him. What does that mean? It means we never died to a personal sense of self. We never put off mortality. We stood with a glimpse into the kingdom here and now, and we said how wonderful it is, how marvelous it is, oh Lord, it's beautiful. But we never put off mortality. We did not receive him inside. But some of us did. A few, a handful. And that handful that did receive him, that handful that did begin this lifetime journey of putting off mortality and putting off personal sense, we began to receive another sense, a spiritual sense. We began to feel a spirit within us. Says John, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And so, if you received him within, and remember, you don't do that by adding him to your humanhood. You do that by dying to your humanhood. The mystic said in the 15th century, God abhors a vacuum. All you have to do is become empty of self, and automatically you're full of God. And so it is by dying, says St. Francis, that we awaken to eternal life. It is by putting off mortality that we put on immortality. But it doesn't come the other way around, and that's what we want to do. Some of us consciously. Well, I talked to a lady once, and she said, I'm not willing to do that yet. Well, I don't know when you will be, but that's what has to be done. Well, I'm not willing to do that yet. No, I can't give up my attachment to my relatives. To my children or my grandchildren. You think that if you give up your attachment, you're not going to be loving? No, it's quite the contrary. What a human calls love is not love, it's possessive. I can guarantee you, when you are empty of self, I don't mean completely, I mean that you start the process and move forward with it. When you are practicing dying daily, as Paul says, you are filled up with a presence. Sometimes in your meditation, sometimes while you're walking and talking. And then the love is real love that flows through you. And so, says John, when you receive him and you begin to feel this wonderful presence filling you with immortality, your own immortality, then you are born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Now you are born of God. And then the Word is made flesh and dwells among us, and we behold his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And finally, John down here says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, that should be enough evidence. All of those saints and souls and people we've quoted this morning in the first 20 minutes of this talk to tell you that Well, to help you realize, I'm going to have to put off mortality. My job's not adding immortality to my humanhood. My job's not praying that God come into my life and repair my health and improve my finances and smooth out my relationships. See, that my in there is the problem. Now, there are some things that get in the way of us putting off mortality, putting off a personal sense of these things. And one of the biggest roadblocks to us being able to put off mortality or put off personal sense, material sense of living, is orthodoxy. We have these beliefs. The biggest belief we picked up from Moses. Well, not really Moses, the followers of Moses, who down through the centuries have corrupted his original teaching. So we have a teaching in the churches that tell us, now, you be good little boys and girls, because if you're good, you can go to heaven. And if you're not good, you're going to hell. And God will punish you for these things you're doing wrong, especially if you're hurting others. And God will reward you with a heavenly home and streets of gold if you're good. And so we turn our attention from being evil and selfish and spreading hatred, and we turn it to becoming good. We want the opposites now. We want to spread human love. We want to we just want the opposite of evil. We want to be good. Good little boys and girls. But do you know that God has nothing to do with that? Nothing. Absolutely zero nothing. Well, how can you say that? We've been hearing it for years, but maybe we didn't hear at that level. Maybe we weren't ready to put off mortality. What is mortality made of? What is a personal sense of self, a material universe made out of? What is the substance of the material universe that we see? There's no God in it. God's not in the human scene, says Joel Goldsmith. So what's the substance? The belief in good and evil. That's the substance of all error. And a material world, material sense of existence, this world that you see with your eyes, that your senses touch. You see, hear, taste, touch, and smell it. That's made up of the belief in good and evil. And God's not in it. God's in his kingdom now, here. But we don't see it. We see this good and evil. And we're trying to forever get away from evil into good. And even if it's not that exaggerated, it's still there. You're trying to get a good education and land a great position and save up some money so that you can get ahead. Well, that's trying to turn the evil of lack and limitation into the good of affluence, abundance, extravagance. Right? Yes, yes, yes. Maybe we're involved with, what's one of those dating online things? I can't think of it now. But maybe we're involved with a dating site online and we hope to find the perfect companion. We've picked them ourselves and they haven't turned out too good. So we want to change an evil, limited, lacking, not so harmonious relationship into a good one. Well, what's wrong with that? Isn't the rest of humanity doing that? Yeah, you betcha. And they've been doing it for century after century after century. Oh, yes. Maybe you're going to exercise and take supplements and vitamins, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're secretly hoping that that will turn your not so good life or health into good health, it might work. But guess what? You're still stuck in the opposites. Now, all those things might work. You might have a great position, paying you more than you've ever made, good health because you go to the gym every day and work out, and a great companion who's also a yuppie. And guess what? So what? You're stuck on the treadmill of going from evil to good. And it won't stay there. Your health will still begin to fail. You may be laid off. And she may find somebody better than you. Or he may find somebody better than you or just get tired of you. Nothing in this world lasts because it's illusion. Now, don't look out here and say there's a world out here and it's an illusion. That's the mistake that a lot of people make, and they never make any progress because they have the attitude, well, why bother? It's an illusion. Someday I'll awaken when God taps me on the shoulder. And maybe you're right. Maybe after a few more centuries, you'll awaken. But there are some of us here now that want to awaken now. I want to step out of that material sense of universe, which is good or evil or good. I want to put off that universe, that self, that life, in order that I may create that vacuum into which immortality flows. And so how do I do it? One of the things we can begin with is we can begin to put off orthodoxy. We can begin to say, wait a minute, now God's got nothing to do with that. They told me wrong. They taught me wrong. They taught me how to live in harmony with the law. But then I'm still under the law. I'm not under grace. Joel tells me, Jesus tells me, Herb tells me, Bill tells me there's a life by grace. Which means there's a life by spirit. Which has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with evil or good. If we sow to the flesh, whether it's evil or it's good, if it's a material sense of self doing it, in a material sense of universe, it's corruption. If we sow to the spirit, it's an eternal, immortal, immortality, everlasting life flowing. And so we have to come to see God has nothing to do with the creation of good or evil. That entire universe is a temple made by hands, a temple made by mind. This is why God cannot be known with the human mind. Joel has told that to us over the years. We've heard it over and over, but we've sort of said, and brushed by it because we didn't really get it and the depth of it. God cannot be known by the human mind because the human mind is the belief in good and evil, and it's always trying to change evil into good. I'm talking about normal people. I'm not talking about people with psychological problems that try to change good into evil. That's still the other side of the same coin, though, by the way. You remember Joel saying in his books, don't try to be good. Trying to be good will keep you out of heaven. And it will, because it'll keep you into a spiritual, into a material sense of self and away from a spiritual sense of self. All right, so we were taught in church, I was, that I had to be a good little boy. And I tried that, and it didn't work. It just didn't work. It did not fulfill me. I did not feel fulfillment. I did not find fulfillment. I found a life where I was spinning plates on sticks, and they were constantly wobbling. And I tried to get them all going, and I couldn't. And they'd fall and crash, and that would fall apart, and then they'd lay me off, and then she run off with another guy, and then I had to go to the doctor, you see? So, it's not about being good, and don't, you've got to put off the belief that God rewards or punishes. If you read the Bible, you will notice that Lord God is the fellow that punishes, and Lord God is the law. But you're not under the law if you live by Christ and what Christ taught. And you must put off mortality, which is what lives under the law, and put on immortality. And you must put off the belief that God rewards you or punishes you. I still find that belief creeping in sometimes. And I have to consciously say, wait a minute, stop right there. You're lying. You're lying. You're that world mind. And you're telling me that if I just, well, God, I've done all these things this week. Can I have a little supply? What is that? That's like Oliver Twist. Can I have more, please? There's no God to answer that prayer. That prayer does not get out of the box of good and evil. What about the other thing? Well, I'm feeling guilty. I said something I should have, and that's why I caught this cold. You see? A belief in a punishing universe, a punishing God. No. No such thing exists. Well, what about this belief? And this is a hard one. You're not going to like it. What about the belief that God loves me? Well, we need to shatter that. God does not love you. What? How can you say that? It's all throughout the Bible. Is it? Take a deeper look. I said to an audience 45 years ago, God loves me more than I could ever love myself. And that was what I was experiencing, And that was a joy. And I thought it was true. Until Joel Goldsmith told me, "You don't have a me. You haven't got one." What? What? I stood there with my mouth open, staring. What? Remember, he said in several places, "Truth is shocking." Well, now I'm giving you truth, straight truth. God does not love you. What? Yes, because there's no you that God created. God did not create the material scene. We just read that in The Infinite Way. The very first chapters, the first few paragraphs, God does not contrate, pardon me, God did not create and does not control the material scene. That's what we read. Well, then if God did not create a material you, a personal you, this is one of the beliefs that have to be put off. And what happens when it's put off? You stand there, stock still. What? And in that stillness, the immortal presence rushes in. You feel it. You feel love. And then it dawns. Ah, John was right. God is love. And when I draw near to that presence, I feel that love. That love expresses in, through, and as me. Actually, it flows in, through, and as I. There's no more me standing there. There's only I. I, the child of God, the immortal. I'm beginning to grow up, aren't I? I'm beginning to put away childish things. I'm beginning to put off mortality and behold immortality arriving. It was there before, but I had to be willing to put off that glass darkly. I had to be willing to let go of some of these cherished beliefs. No, God does not love me. But when I put me off as a nothingness and stand still, God's love flows through in and as the I of me. The I where me was appearing. Now I'm surrounded in love, in God's love. God loves his child, and his child is that immortal I. You see? We don't want to do that. Oh, I have to give up my cherished belief. You see, when you give up the belief that God loves me, you're also giving up the belief that God loves my children, my grandchildren, my parents, my grandparents, my cousins, my nieces, my nephews, my town, my state, my nation. No, God does not love my or me. God is love, and in the absence of my or me, God's love just flows and enfolds everything and everyone. What a different world we are called to live in than what we thought it was supposed to be. What a different world. And so this belief in good and evil, this belief in a material sense of self, a personal self, has to be let go. When that's let go, then in rushes the immortal self, and that's the answer to prayer. Because that immortal self then appears as companionship. That immortal self then appears as help. That immortal self then appears as supply. See, you don't ask for it. You don't have to. You don't have to pray for any of those things. That's the wrong way. That's backwards. Now, he was very, very specific in his New Horizon, and he said there weren't enough people that studied it. Just this first sentence in this chapter, our real existence. Our real existence is as spirit. That should take you into meditation for about a year. Our real existence is as spirit. What does it mean? That's for you to find out. When you put off matter. Over and over and over, he stresses, this is a spiritual universe. And what do? We close our eyes and try to get him to add to our material sense of existence. Here are some other things that need to be let go of. The belief that you have supply. My. You can count on it. If it's me or my, it's a false self, a false sense of self, a false material, personal sense of self. My supply. Well, right now I have 1,000-something in checking, right? Or 2,000 in checking, or 4,000 in checking, whatever it is. Or $50 in checking. And that's my supply, right? Right. You're right. My supply is pitiful. It's limited. It's lacking. And I'm trying to get God to demonstrate into my universe of good and evil. I want him to change the evil into good. Give me abundance. That's what I want. And so I meditate on this theme and I practice what I think are the principles of supply, and I'm trying to make a bargain. I want God to come into my universe. And he's not doing it. What's the matter? Why aren't these principles working? You're working them backwards. God doesn't love you, and God doesn't supply you. God is supply. And when you put off a material, personal supply and stand still, you experience God and God's presence. You experience the immortal, eternal supply. And then it appears as harmonious supply. It may be abundance. It may be just enough, like that cruse of oil, but it never runs dry. Then you no longer have supply. Now, like Joel, you can say, ah, I am the supply. Yes. Yes, the presence is your supply. Never mind how it's going to appear. That's none of your business. Your business is to put off this personal sense of supply, my supply. What about my companion, my partner, my wife, my husband? What about these people I work with? What about these relationships? My relationships? What are you working on? I'm working on my relationship. Oh, are you? Good luck with that. My relationship is not very good. I've had a personal relationship before, and it wasn't very good. I hung on to that and squeezed that thing so hard that she ran off with another guy, and then I didn't have a personal relationship anymore. Oh, yes, very possessive. And then I stood still. I was empty. So very empty that I cried out to God, God, you be my companion. And I meant it, ladies and gentlemen. I meant it with the totality of my being. And I felt the immortal move in and through me. I felt it touch me on the side of the face for the first time. There was a tingling feeling and a sense of peace, and oh my God, God is real. And God became my companion. And it appeared and has appeared out here as the wife I have today of almost 30 years, and all of you, all of my friends, and all of the people that I work with. But it only came when I put off that personal sense of companionship. You see? Do you see? We must put off immortality, or put off mortality, that immortality may be put upon us. We don't add the immortality to our mortal sense of existence. And finally, what about health? My health. Well, if I'm working on my health, I guarantee you it's not very good. Because it's my health. What would happen if I put off a belief in my health and stood still? Father, what is your life like? What is a soul existence like? What does an infinite Christ body feel like? And stand still. Into my being would rush, and did rush, an immortal, infinite, eternal self. And I felt it. I knew it was, and I know it is, infinite and omnipresence itself. Now, he has told us this. We have missed it. We have not looked at it. Maybe we didn't want to. It must be realized, says Joel, that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, and we must rise above the desire for good, even good human conditions. Understand fully that belief, suggestion, hypnotism is the substance of the whole mortal sense of universe, and all human conditions, good or evil, are dreams and have no reality. So you must be willing, he says, for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived in. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? We've read it. We thought about it for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we've gone right out into our mortal sense of existence, our mortal sense of supply or health or companionship, and we've forgotten about it and fell back asleep. They talk about that in the New Testament, in Acts. Some of the disciples have fallen back asleep. I suppose that we are some of those disciples. a personal sense of me. Now, the very first talk I ever made, I said, if you can see it, hear it, taste it, touch it, or smell it, it's a false sense of self and was not made by God. Therefore, God does not love it. God does not even know about it. God is. You become empty of self consciously. It takes work. It takes practice. It takes meditation. You become empty of self, and the immortal I flows through you. You create an opening, and there it is. You don't even have to ask for it. I wonder if you can live that way. Can you live in such a way that you never pray for supply, companionship, or health? That's another thing that has to be let go of. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. So if the natural man is praying that God do this or that or the other to the natural man's life, who is listening? No one except the natural man. And you may say, well, wait a minute now, I've prayed like that before and received this and that and the other. Yes, you have. And Joel says that's because your faith in the prayer. It was your faith. It wasn't God answering it. So we come to a place where our world is turned inside out and upside down. And that's a good place to be. It means that you will not try to add God to your humanhood. It means that you will pray in the right order here, or work in the right order, and not try to add immortality to you, but rather try to die to you, and immortality is automatic. So, continuing here, behind this personal sense of life, personal sense of supply, personal sense of companionship, personal sense of health, there is a universe of spirit governed by love, peopled with children of God living in the household or temple of truth. And so there's a spiritual sense of supply, a spiritual sense of infinite supply, a spiritual sense of immortal life, a spiritual sense of omnipresent companionship, a spiritual sense of universe which is governed by love. That's all that can be there. And it's peopled with God's children who are living in a temple not made by a material sense. They're living in a temple made by spirit. This world is real and permanent, and its substance is eternal consciousness. And finally, the first glimpse of this reality, of the soul realm, comes with the recognition and realization of the fact all temporary conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization that the entire human scene, all of it, its good as well as its evil, is illusion. See, when you realize that at depth, all of this, the evil I've been trying to turn into good, all of it, the good that just turns itself back into evil, All of it is a personal sense of life, a personal sense of universe, a person, a natural person. When you realize that at depth, you have put off for a moment mortality. And then flows into you immortal existence. And he says, with that realization comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the Son of God who inhabits the spiritual kingdom. Now, that is as plain as the sun shining through my skylight over there. You can't make it any plainer. We've read it, we've seen it. Oh yes, yes, that's true. And then we fall asleep again. And the next morning we get up, we have a busy day planned, and I'm running out and I'm living me, my life. And I get towards the end of the month and my supply is dwindling. But why is it dwindling? I gave away $200 this month. It should come back, right? Tenfold? But it hasn't. Why? And God says, you run every man to his own house instead of coming to me. Yes, you didn't give away God's supply. You gave away me's. Me supply. My supply. Gave away my supply. And now my has less. Me has less. I gave away my supply and me has less. I'm living in that universe again. Oh, shoot. How'd I get back here? You forgot. You fell back asleep. Oh my goodness, I'm starting to have arguments on the job. That happened a year ago. Now it's happening again. What is going on? I thought I overcame that. Yes, well, me is going to work. Going to my job. You should have realized a long time ago, you don't have a job. It's not your job. You should have gotten out of the way and put off that mortality so that God can perform through you what's appointed for you to do. Then it's God's job. See, you have to let that idea go that you have a job. He performeth that which is appointed for me to do. He performeth. Why am I out there doing it? I forgot. I fell back asleep. Well, I'm experiencing this flu that's going around. How did that happen? I haven't been sick in a couple of years. See, and then here comes this orthodoxy. Well, I thought I was being good, God. Why are you punishing me? What did I do wrong? Maybe I'm not even blaming God. Maybe I'm blaming myself. What did I do wrong? I did something wrong. I must have sowed something wrong because I'm experiencing this. Yes, you did. You sowed a personal sense of health. My health. And now me is not feeling so good. Why? Because you fell back asleep. Well, we've just really touched on this subject, and I'm not sure if more will come forth or not, but our time is up. Sort of like the psychiatrist. Your time's up. But we are coming up on an hour. But the point that I'm making today is from the very first chapter of The Infinite Way, we were told you cannot add God, that is, immortal, eternal, everlasting existence, to your finite material sense of self. It can't be done, and none of those prayers will be answered. You must put off mortality and put on, and then immortality is put on automatically. Now, he puts it a lot better. Eventually, we are led to the great revelation, mortals only put on immortality as mortality disappears. They do not add immortal spiritual harmony to human conditions. God did not create and does not control material affairs. The natural human receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are spiritually discerned. See that? Is that wonderful or what? He says here, we are living in a spiritual universe, but finite sense, or a personal sense of life, has set a picture before us of limitation. While thought is on the pictures before us, we are engaged in a constant effort to improve or change it. And that is entirely wrong. It's backwards. As soon as we lift our vision, take it off what we shall eat or drink, we begin to behold reality, which improves to us as improved beliefs, but which is really more appearing of reality. All right, so there's the answer. If you have not received answers to your prayers, you know why now. Let's not pretend. You've been trying to add immortal existence to a personal self. But now, let's take the reverse and reverse all that and let go of a personal sense of self. It's an illusion. It's a nothingness. It does not need improving. It needs dissolving. So, I let go. Father, reveal that immortal self that I am. And we are still. And if we do this seriously, at depth, we will feel the immortal spirit flow in and through and as the I that I am. Now, this takes practice. We forget more than we remember. We may have to leave little notes all over the house or in our car or even on our desk at work to remind us. I am putting off a personal sense of self, personal sense of supply, personal sense of companion, personal sense of life, health. And I'm standing still. Now, Father, reveal the immortal self. And we practice and practice with eyes open, with eyes closed. And if we are honest and we do this at depth, that prayer of emptiness will be answered by the flowing of your own immortal self, which is loved eternally by the Father, the Source. Well, that's it. I love you. I hope you do this, and I will be practicing this too. So, thank you.